Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And good morning and welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Let's see, coming up on the program today, next hour, Ed Brodau will be with us. He's a conservative political commentator, negotiation expert, and best-selling author of 10 books, including his latest, The War on Whites. And we'll be talking about that and how they're using race to divide us. Also coming up, Jason Shepard, founder of Wimkin Social Media. He's an entrepreneur and a free speech advocate. And hopefully we'll be able to get Mr. Cleary on the program here in just a minute. Zoom has decided to do some kind of strangeness. And so I'm hoping that it's going to allow him to be able to jump in. All I can think to do. All right, let me close that. We try to reopen Zoom. And all it gives me is an option to join. Why? Why did it do that? Okay. It appears that I'm going to have to create a new link for Mr. Cleary. If I can make my fingers work and my eye. Hang on 1 second, folks. My apologies. It is not letting him in. That's my guess. Is that it's not letting him in. Because, you know, Zoom arbitrarily decides what it's going to do. Even when you update and you do everything, it still does that. So that's just great. All right. Copy invitation. Let's see. Okay. All right, folks. Here we go. Give this a listen, and I'll be right back.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till he comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil so you all might enter into his rest. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my apologies for the technical issues that we had. Zoom decided to have a mind of its own. Very, very interesting, but not surprising, I suppose. And one of the reasons why my next guest has created something to share the gospel digitally, because that's where a lot of folks are getting their information. Reels, TikToks, things of that nature. I want to welcome Steve Cleary to the program. Steve, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, Pastor Greg. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I apologize that we're going to be a little bit short in our time together, but let's make the most of it that we possibly can. Let's talk about iBible. What was it? You were in the healthcare field at one point in IT.
No, I wasn't. I've been in mission and development work most of my life.
Okay.
I've done a lot of work in countries where Christians are persecuted, and traveled to about 50 countries, developed projects with Voice of the Martyrs. And wow. Really, that was my passion. I was discipled by Pastor Richard Wombrandt, who wrote the book Tortured for Christ.
Sure.
And that's what I thought I would do, you know, and that's what I thought I'd do the rest of my life until this vision for a visual Bible came about and kind of took me by storm.
So I when I was reading about it, it talks about that it is the Bible, but it's not verse by verse. Talk to me about that concept and how that came about, and how do you maintain the integrity, if you will, of the message?
Well, first of all, thank you for asking that. I love that question. And I know we're short on time. I'll try to go fast. You know, when you look at traditional Bible translation, it's word for word translation. Obviously, that's the goal. Then you have translations that are more paraphrased, you know, and written in modern or very, very modern English. And then you have Bible stories. We create stories. So you think of VeggieTales, Superbook, even The Chosen, events based on the Bible. What we do is a biblical narrative. And what makes it different is that our script is constrained to scripture. So we do not use any word in our script that's not supported within that verse. So while it's not word for word, it is using scripture to create the narrative, to create the story, the one story of scripture. It's in chronological order. We're not a paraphrase, so we're not restating as much as we're kind of reshuffling to put it in chronological order and to put it in story form. But the most important part is that you cannot find an adjective, an adverb, a noun. You cannot find any of this in our scripts that are not supported within the scripture. So every single line of our script has the scripture or scriptures from which it was taken from. It goes through very, very rigorous review processes, including we have a Hebrew working in the Old Testament right now. We have a Hebrew theologian who does a check for us to make sure theologically we didn't change anything. He does an excellent job. He's edited many Bible translations. And so that's really at the heart of it, is if you think you're still reading the Bible, but you're reading it in narrative form. And so you're reading it in story form. And it's really the first of its kind, but we feel it still maintains the power of the Word of God. And so we're not a Bible story, you know, we're not like a modern retelling. We are scriptural. And if you actually look at how New Testament characters quoted the Old Testament, they did the same thing. They quoted it in narrative. Mm-hmm. So they held true, but they didn't necessarily quote word for word.
Now, you've got 10 books so far. Is that correct?
We got probably 15 or 16 episodes.
Okay.
So the entire production will be 280 episodes.
Okay.
It'll be about 30 hours of content. Each episode is 5 to 7 minutes long. And we wanted that length. You know, that's kind of the generation, right? A YouTube video, 5 to 7 minutes, a devotional, chance to talk about it after. And so the episodes are broken into 5 to 7 minute episodes. We're going to be releasing 47 of these episodes Easter of next year. So in the next 9 to 10 months, we're going to be releasing 47 episodes. It'll include all of Genesis and the beginning of the life of Christ. Again, we will do harmonized gospel because we're story based and okay. We're chronological order.
What separates? So okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say we're probably and you probably read something that we had 10 episodes done, and that's correct. We have a lot of episodes in production. So we kind of have the equivalent of about 16, 17 episodes completed.
Yeah, it was somewhere on, let me see. It was somewhere on the site when I was looking at
yes,
different information and it had a listing of the 10 you know, creation and Job, yep. And then Job's restoration and, you know, and that kind of thing, kind of broken down into 10 chapters. What separates this, Steve, from, say, like Mackey's Bible Project?
First of all, we love the Bible Project. Our ministry has personally supported it, and they do an amazing job. The biggest difference is theirs explains the Bible. So that those presentations are really for someone that is reading the Bible, has access to the Bible, can read, you know, the Bible's in their language. We present the Bible. So if you think on a scale, somebody may watch something like the Jesus film,
okay,
and, or they may have, and they may have an experience at church. They give their life to Christ. We come next. So we're a presentation of the Bible, create a foundation of faith, begin that discipleship process. After you're reading the Bible, and like I said, assuming you can and you can have access to it, which billions of people do not, then the Bible Project helps you, helps explain how the Bible is laid out and presents the books of the Bible. So we love their project. We think it's a, we think it's great. It was designed initially for like college students who are studying scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely a great project. They started a little bit ahead of us. We're a little bit higher end animation, and we're extremely missional, extremely reaching, you know, either even young people or adults in America that are not going to read their Bible anymore. You know, if you've read things, state of the Bible reports, it's actually getting pretty dismal.
Oh, sure. Biblical illiteracy is massive, massive.
Yes.
Even amongst people that are sitting in church pews, by the way.
Well, the report on America is down 16%.
Yeah.
Bible engagement. So we've seen Bible engagement potentially, we believe the Bible can increase. And if you think about it, you mentioned at the beginning of your broadcast technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology can be, you know, sometimes challenging, but technology can be used to further the gospel.
Sure.
Some people say, well, maybe they don't jump on the new technology, but if you have a printed book, then you can thank, you know, a man named Johannes Gutenberg for creating the movable type press, right?
Right.
That was technology. What if Christians back then said, no, we don't want that technology. We don't want books. Well, that would be the equivalent today of us not embracing digital technology to share the word of God. And the cool part is that we can add audio and we can add visuals. You know, the world learns, everybody knows the people learn by seeing first. I mean, sure. You know, a pastor was telling me even Satan knows that. So he wants you to watch pornography. He wants you to see violence. He wants you to see things because it makes, you know, your brain's like a camera. It's continually taking, your eye is continually taking pictures, and it's hard to forget those. We all think of things we've seen visually, we will never forget. And then the word learns by audio, you know, second.
Sure. Sure.
And by print, third. So that's how, but unfortunately, missions today focuses on print first, audio second, and visual third. So we try to flip that. We try to say, what if we focused on visual first, then audio, then print?
Now, what about places like, and I believe in advancing the gospel through technology. In fact, that's how I share my testimony of the accident that I was in 2017 and dying four times and all of that. And I've been sharing that since 2019 over Skype in Punjab, India, where we've planted 750 churches and 41 freshwater wells and put in, created four sewing schools for widows. And it's all been done digitally over Skype. We do a service there every single week in an outlying area. Wow. What about places like that where the people don't necessarily have access to a cell phone or a technology like that? How do we help someone in that arena? I'm just, I don't know if you guys have thought, I'm sure you've thought about that, because here you are creating a product to deliver in such a manner. And obviously in some of these third world countries, they don't have the technologies that we have in America, that they have in China, that a lot of these other places are going to have.
Right. So if somebody doesn't have, let's say, no internet and let's say no electricity, then we start with a solar powered iPad.
Okay.
And so we're developing that. And then when they connect online, they can update, but we preload the content on there. So a solar powered iPad is very economical, can be put in a village, and it can serve 10 to 12 people at a time. And so you think of of a mass Jesus film showing, which we love, mm-hmm. but generally you have one or two of those a year. We want people to have every week to be experiencing content and talking about it. You know, we don't want to go to church once a year, right? And so we're putting solar powered. We will be putting solar powered iPads. We have an engineer working on it now. We've almost crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's to make it possible. We'll be testing it probably in Papua New Guinea. Once you have electricity, you go to a projection system. So right. If you have electricity, most churches in the world actually have a projector, and it's not that hard to bring them one. We also make a solar powered projector to serve about 100 people to 150 people. But there are Jesus Film has backpacks of solar powered and electrical projectors. Mm-hmm. Then we go to micro SD cards. So if they have a phone but not internet, they can put a micro SD card in their phone and they can share it. They can Bluetooth it to one another, or they can take the micro SD card out and just pass it around. Then we go to internet based. So really there's nobody with today's technology, there's nobody who we cannot present a video presentation. Except for somebody that is sight impaired, you know, and cannot see the presentation, we can reach anybody in the world now with visual content. That's where we're at. And these phones, 5 billion phones in the world today.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were looking at our partners are in Ethiopia. They're at a church that there is not even a road that leads to the church. They all walk across fields. And my friend, Mark, asked the pastor, he said, how many people here have a phone? He's thinking maybe there's three phones in the church, four phones in the church. Pastor said the average family has three phones.
Wow.
And this is a church that's a village, typical village church. There isn't even a road to the church, but they have three phones per family.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is in what country?
Really amazing.
This is in what country, Steve?
Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia. Okay. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. Where I'm at in Punjab, we need to talk. Where I'm at in Punjab, because see, they're lower caste. And everybody wants to say there's not a caste system, but there is a caste system.
Yeah, there is a caste system.
And they try to make sure that the lower caste people don't have access to anything, because that's how they keep them oppressed. They keep them enslaved by doing it. They don't like the fact that we're bringing them freshwater wells, because that now gives them good health. And they don't want them to have good health, because good health means that they can be more productive and their communities can be thriving. And that is contrary to their to their caste system. I love this. How do folks contact, and what kind of help? What do you need right now from my audience? How can they help you?
Well, they can reach us at i.bible. So the website, it's not .com, it's i.bible. Or you can look us up on Google. You can look up iBible. You will find us. Really what we see coming is more and more people that are willing to donate a small amount just to be involved. We're going to have hundreds of projects people can sponsor. Like I'd love to partner with you, Pastor Greg, and look at what we can do in the villages of India and Punjab.
Amen. Absolutely.
We have campaigns in India. I'd love to add yours. We're already translating into minority languages. So the exciting thing is it's not just, hey, you know, we have this endless thing and we need so much money to survive. We obviously need money for production, but we're excited that people are going to be able to sponsor the Word of God for Bible engagements.
Amen.
And it's amazing what we can do. I mean, we deliver something overseas. You're going to have thousands of Bible engagements. You're going to have people coming to Christ. You're going to have people understanding God's Word. You know, for me, if I want to invest in something, I mean, you think about it. What do you want your children and grandchildren to do? You want them to know the Word of God.
Amen.
If they don't know the Word of God, how are they going to stand up to wokeism and all the attacks of Satan in our country and in the world today?
Well, and the misrepresentations, quite frankly, of the Word of God in so many of the quote-unquote denominations today as well. I mean, the church, by and large, because of the illiteracy of the people and because of whatever other delusion there is, many have bought into wokeism. and have bought the lies. We've called evil good and good evil, and I'm so glad to see that we're pushing back against that in an arena where it's so needed.
Amen. So it's the word of God and prayer, right?
I mean,
and then being willing to be outspoken.
Yeah.
And we need those. But if our kids are not in the Bible and not in God's word, and it's not leading them into a relationship with their creator and Jesus, if it's not leading them to pray, I'm going to make a statement that we've lost the battle. So the battle begins. I believe the battle begins in the word of God and the hearts. There's power in the word of God.
Amen.
And it needs to be implanted, and our children and grandchildren need to be engaged. And that's our passion.
100%. 100%. Steve, thank you so much for being with me. I'm sorry that we were cut a little bit short today. We will get with your publicist, and we'll get you back on the program again. This is a really important topic, and I will reach out to you, and we'll make contact. Hang tight for just a second. Folks, we got to take a break. I've got another guest. Jason Shepherd is coming on next with us, and we'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Jump on in here.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. So what do you do when you see that the industry that you're in is, well, hiding the truth? And what do you do when you see that big tech is censoring the truth and you have the skill set to do something about it? Well, you do what my next guest did, and that is you create, well, you create options, and that is exactly what my next guest, Jason Shepherd, has done with Wimkin and several other products that we'll talk about here. I want to welcome Jason to the program. Jason, good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Pastor. I appreciate it.
And it sounds like we have several things in common.
Yeah, a little off-air situation there. We both had a terrible accident and both at least had to be brought back. So that's pretty interesting. I did not know that. So that's definitely a great starting point. But yeah, we have a lot in common. We obviously love God, and I believe at this point in time, because all we put up with, Pastor, I wouldn't be doing this for any other reason other than God, because it's, you obviously know the bend and break aspect. I've been bent every way anybody could possibly be bent here with our platforms, with the government, with big tech. And I keep pressing on every single day through his power.
Well, I think that his power is the only way that we make it through, honestly. And unfortunately, the attacks and the assaults and where they come from is, you know, it would be nice if it was just on the outside, but it's not. It's, you know, it's even within our supposed camp that that there's issues that arise as well. You created Wimkin is one of your social media platforms. I was noticing also in your bio that you've created TruthLeak. Mm-hmm. As an alternative to YouTube. And then there was another one that I read, and I apologize, I can't remember the name right this second.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
We actually have a new TikTok alternative that has parental controls and is 100% data private and obviously American made and housed. It's called Reelster, like the film Reel, Reelster. And then we also have a platform that's a little bit less political, because Wimkin is very political. It's you know, staunchly conservative. I'd say about 85 to 90% conservative, because of all the conservatives that have been kicked off of social media.
Sure.
And so we have another platform that's actually, it's basically the same interface as Wimkin, but it's called Friendser. And that's just more of, you know, where people share pictures of the kids, you know, sports, things that are just a little more feel good than politics are.
Sure. Tell me about your background, because you started out, you were in healthcare IT, and so you started out in an entirely different direction. Share with my audience a little bit about that background, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I was part of a medical network and a health insurance network that is the second largest in my tri-state area. Actually, it's four states now, but in Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, and parts of New York. And so one of my positions as a business analyst, that's what it was, but it's still IT because you're setting up testing protocols and things of that nature, then also reporting to county health departments. But we were spearheaded to start a COVID project for testing. We had 2,300 physicians at that point in time that would actually give these tests to primary care physicians. And
those are those PTP cat tests or whatever they were.
Well, I'll get into that in a second.
Okay, because, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's okay. These tests were completely faulty. So what happened was, first and foremost, we were noticed about this project in September of 2019. So, I mean, America didn't know what COVID was yet. We had no idea what it was. We didn't even know what was going on in China at that point in time. So
supposedly.
Yes, supposedly. Yes, that's correct.
Supposedly, and, yes.
So that was definitely a major red flag to me. And then in addition to that, the way that I work is, you know, I give doctors, I had 85, I believe, on my Rolodex that I was actually managing. And so I would give doctors my, you know, business card to call me. Don't worry about calling the 800 number, you know, right. Anything like that, actually the hassles. And in the first probably 4 days, I got over 6 calls from, you know, 6 different doctors saying they refused to give these tests because they were testing for just any type of coronavirus and reporting them as positive. Now, obviously, by your face, I could see that you know a little bit about this.
Oh, yeah. No, Nansu and I actually tracked this thing all the way back to early to March of 2019 is when it is one of the germinating points.
Yes, you are exactly right. And but so essentially what we were doing, and I would not do this, is I was literally adding to the hysteria of giving, you know, 100% positive tests. I mean, it wasn't my fault. They weren't my tests, of
course. Right.
I went to my superiors and said, hey, you know, there's known roughly 70 coronaviruses in the human body. Most of the time you're asymptomatic with them. So now you're testing people just to go to the doctor. And, you know, we're giving out these false reports to county health departments. And now you have the live death tracker up on TV, which is kind of funny to say live death tracker. It's like they almost had an individual in every emergency room in the country calling into news stations or, you know, a little telewire where they're just hitting, ooh, new death.
Right.
So and that was state based. You know what I mean? Then it was city based. I mean, so a lot wrong with that. But so I left there. And I started a website called worldmustknow.com. Now, that's now defunct because that's what turned into Wimkin. And Wimkin stands for World Must Know Now, WMKN. That's, you just sound out those letters. That's what Wimkin stands for. And but we on World Must Know Now, we got up to around 40,000 users a day, you know, hitting the site. They were reading our articles. We had the world's most comprehensive timeline in terms of, you know, we had about 40 or 50 entries a day for different countries, different states, things of that nature.
Sure.
You know, hour by hour. And, you know, like I stated, it was getting very popular. I mean, we had more than, you know, 1 million hits a month on it. So we had a lot of users asking us if, hey, can we contribute? You know, we want to comment on these articles. We want to share our own articles. And that's when we actually put together, the idea to start Wimkin.
It's something when you think about it, right? So they have this death tracker that they're putting up on the screen. But if you quoted VAERS to them, they went, you know, hyperplectic. They were like, oh, that's all not, you know, that, no, you're misunderstanding, you're misinterpreting. That's not what that really means. And those are all guesses. But they were catapulting their own death numbers. My mother-in-law died in December of 2020.
Sorry to hear that.
I was told by the funeral director. Now, I'm just letting you know, they will mark her as having died from COVID. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence she didn't, but that's what they're going to, but that is what the death certificate is going to say. I had my own bout with it in 2020. I had double pneumonia. I was coughing up blood. I had the chills. I mean, I had the whole nine, but I told my doctor I'm not going to the hospital. I won't. I sleep in a hospital bed because of the injuries that I suffered from.
Yeah, I
have my wheelchair. I mean, everything that I need that I would have if I was in a hospital room is in my bedroom. So I'm not going to go. And it's funny because he told me probably about 3 or 4 months later, He said, you know, if I'd sent you to the hospital, they probably would have killed you.
Yeah, as working in healthcare, I mean, I've seen that. I was there till probably January of 2020, and conditions were just so bad. I mean, realistically, I lost an uncle to COVID is what they said, but I believe it was just pneumonia. He was a pill user for, I mean, well, not a user. He actually never abused them.
Mm-hmm.
He had a horrible back for about 35 years. And,
okay.
You know, they put him on, I guess, a low dose of probably oxycodone and things of that nature. But I just remember growing up that he was always in so much pain, he really couldn't move too well. And I think that had something to do with it, as well as he was a smoker for, you know, let's say 35 years. I don't really know that number, but.
Well, they probably gave him remdesivir as well. Which
I don't know much about his actual condition, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
But I just know that, you know, in my family, you know, I didn't want anybody to get vaccinated. I didn't want anybody to, you know, get involved with this situation. And,
yep.
You know, I was pretty vocal on this. I mean, of course, we still have a good relationship. But, you know, I just you can't wear down your body and your immune system with that type of pill use. I wish they would have got him on something else. But I mean,
right.
to be quite honest with you, he was never a pill abuser.
It's right. Just, I get it.
You're abusing your body when you're taking, let's say, 60 milligrams of something every day for 35 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and then obviously the cigarettes.
I've been on pain medications because of the accident. I mean, because I broke my left orbital, degloved my face, broke the base of my skull on both sides, broke my neck, broke my back, broke my right rib cage, broke both hands and both wrists. Broke my pelvis, my hip, my femur, my tibia, and my fibula on my left leg. And they said, that's your good leg. And then I crushed the bottom of my right knee, the top of my right tibia, severed all the nerves, and severed the main artery.
Wow. Yeah, that is a plethora of injuries right there.
Yeah.
it's certainly a blessing that you're still here. But I'll tell you what, yeah. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
My goodness.
Thank
you.
Really
do.
No, I appreciate that. All glory to God, brother. All glory to God, no question about it. So you kind of had an organic growth process where you were trying first and foremost to get information out to people that was not being allowed to be shared. I know I had Judy Mikovits was a regular guest on my program.
Sure.
I've had Peter McCullough on my program. I've had Dr. Syed Haider on my program. I've had Brian Artis on my program. I've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on my program.
Yes, Tenpenny.
Yeah, I've had Dr. Brian Hooker with Children's Defense, mm-hmm. You know, organization, which is Robert Kennedy's organization on the program.
Right.
I've had Dr. Roger Thorpe on the program who's leading the charge of trying to address the gynecological community and what's happening with childbirth and what they're doing to babies and so forth. So I know I have been going banned on YouTube, banned on LinkedIn, banned on Vimeo, banned for life still on Twitter, but that's because I called Eric Swalwell a Chinese spy whore. Look, they don't like the truth. They don't like the truth. What do you know what I'm saying? But I hear. So you have this organic growth. So what has that turned into? Because I'm actually getting ready to get signed into your Wimkin product right now. So what has that turned into?
Okay. You know what? I apologize. For some reason, even though I muted calls, they're still coming through. So I missed the last part of your question.
Okay. So I was saying, so now, you know, this has morphed organically. And where I was going with that was, now where are you with Wimkin and what are you seeing? What's your sense of what you're seeing? And one other question that I'll just throw to you and let you just kind of run with that is, you know, we think about what happened to Parler, right? You know, Parler gets knocked off its platform. Then they try to come back. Now they've been bought out. Now they're just gone.
Yeah, they are just gone. I know they were bought up, but Parler, to me, I mean, we'll start there since you brought them up. We were banned from the app stores 3 days after Parler was, and we were also deplatformed as well. Server company also kicked us off. We didn't use AWS, but we learned from that, and we didn't bow to the app store's content moderation demands. You know, essentially what we did was we moved some things. At least we got ourselves a very good conservative provider at that point in time until we got our own infrastructure to actually house us.
Okay.
And then we also have third-party providers in about seven different countries just in case the federal government comes in, because we did get two demands from the Select Committee after January 6th and one U.S. DOJ subpoena. So, you know, you just never know how far they're going to take
it. Is that over users, or if you don't mind, can you say? Did you?
I can definitely say.
Did you go to J6?
No, we didn't have to.
Okay.
To be honest, the way Wymkin is designed, and we did this by trade, is when you sign up, you won't even have to verify your email address. So we don't even have data on you. You don't use a phone number, so we don't have that. We don't want that information.
Gotcha.
Credit cards at this point in time were not accepted on the platform. We had no information. Our messenger, we have video chat. Unlimited video chat. Like, we could actually be doing this on Wymkin right now.
Okay.
This is Zoom. We have up to 20 people video chat. But we have all these components. And, you know, it's essentially growing based on the fact that we fought these individuals. We fought the app stores for 8 months. We didn't bow to them. If you recall, and I had a conversation via email with Dan Bongino about this, about Parler. He was a minority investor. Everyone thought he owned it.
Rhino.
But,
yeah,
you know, they literally were they were back in the app store in about 10 days because they were trying to, you know, they pretty much kowtowed to them. They bowed down to their demands. We refused to do that. And people do realize that. And then, you know, realistically, we're up now. When we were banned from the app stores, we were banned with about 400,000 users. Now we're up to about right around 9 million. Every single morning, we actually scrub bots and everything off the platform. We approve all new users that come on too, so we don't have a plethora like on Twitter. I used to have a 700,000 follower Twitter account. Still can't get that back. And it was over VAERS data and licensed board physicians in good standing, you know, opinions.
Yeah.
And I still got banned. But, you know, on Twitter, though, I just signed back up and I have a whopping like 490 followers. But I think I have more message requests from bots and scammers than I actually do tweets. So we want to keep a very clean platform, but it has organically grown. We have individuals that are out there pushing for us. We have influencers, Wendy Bell, who I was partners with on her app. I built her radio app and website. She streams her show to us every single day, and that helped a lot. And we have Brian Russ now streaming his show every single day. So we have some good influencers there, and it is definitely growing in the right direction and for the right reasons.
Well, I'm getting signed up, and I guess I've got to drop a profile image, so I guess I'll be doing that here momentarily.
You know what? It could be anything. It's just so our system knows that you're not a bot.
Sure.
If I took that off, we would have 10,000 signups a minute, and about 990 of them would be – I'm sorry, 9,900 of those would be bots. So, you know, it's – people try to hurt us all the time, Pastor.
I'm sure.
It's pretty intense.
Yep. No, I'm absolutely sure. Where's this going? Where do you think that what they're doing to us is headed?
You know what? That's a great question. I mean, now with artificial intelligence coming out at the forefront, there's so many variables to what they can do. I mean, AI is such a dangerous tool to where, you know, they could say you did something you didn't even do.
You know,
you'd have to really, I mean, I've been telling everybody, make sure you have an alibi for everything. And that means electronically, like make sure your phone is, you know, tracking your location at this point in time, because, you know, these people can put your likeness on a camera. They can put your likeness on the video, a photo. They can take your voice now. And it's absolutely so. It just depends. I mean, I've seen what we've gone through, and I don't think there's any real chance they're going to stop until we have a different administration. I mean, it's beyond belief what we've gone through with this platform.
Oh, I can't even imagine. all the stuff that you guys have probably had to face as it relates to just trying to stay on. I'm still involved, but I was involved in, you know, looking into data centers and, mm-hmm. you know, and places to house, you know, and trying to find a safe place and or build your own. Years ago, I was involved with a company. We did protecting intellectual property. Actually sure. went to the Chow conference in 1999 in San Francisco. But we're meeting with like Digital Island and people like that back in the day. What you have to go through and the expenses and the challenges that are associated with that. I feel like that's where we are. Where we are is really, if we want to, you know, maintain the ability, but AI is an interesting piece.
Pastor, I don't believe that. I believe it's going to be used more for sinister ideas than good. I don't see any other way around it.
Well, people are kind of freaking out a little bit, I think, about what's happening with the writer's strike and what's going on with Hollywood right now.
Yeah, the actors are concerned. You know, Hollywood is just a
trash. Yeah,
it's literally.
I agree.
It is the devil. It really is. But
it has become that. It has become that. No question.
Maybe it's good there that they're not making this filth anymore at this point in time, since they're all shut down. But that might be one of the only good things. I know there's some things they can do with medical, and you know, it's got some very, very tremendous upsides. But if you can't regulate the negative side of it, it's going to get out of control.
Well, the question becomes, and we got a couple minutes, but you can kind of stew on this even after the program and maybe write something about it. But that is the creative aspect, because everybody's thinking right now that it's the writers versus the studios, and the issue has to do with what they're creating. The studios mm-hmm. are the ones that are driving the messaging. And they only hire writers that are going to message what they want messaged. Now they've got the opportunity to say, we don't even need you anymore. We're going to use AI.
Yeah.
And we'll drive our messages using, you know, whatever that is, Snapchat or whatever it is,
probably ChatGPT and things
like
that. Yeah,
there you go. Exactly. I mean, they'll just say, hey, we want a script that kind of looks like this. And ChatGPT is going to spit that script out for them, and they're going to say to the writer, "We don't need you anymore." But what the general public, I think, has to understand is that it's the messaging of the movie, and they can do it all now between that element and then CGI. They don't need humans, and they've got us hooked.
Oh, sure. No, I agree. And you hit it on the head, too, the messaging of the movie, because if you look at The Sound of Freedom, I still have not seen that, but I'm familiar with Tim Ballard's story.
Powerful.
You have these individuals out there, you know, on the left and, you know, in Hollywood and at the top magazines and the top, I won't say they're top, but, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post and, you know, what I call liberal rags, to be quite honest with you. They advocate for cuties. That movie from Netflix that sexualized in a major, major way.
Sick.
Then, you know, that they're literally getting behind this story and saying it's everything they say is it's QAnon adjacent. And I mean, why don't you want to have something out there about a true story about someone protected children and saved them from a fate that was probably worse than death? I mean, so it shows where they are. I hope Hollywood does shut down. I really do. I don't think there's anything that good comes from it anymore. I mean, you know, documentaries and independent filmmakers are great. And let's keep it rolling in that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you've got, you know, Angel Studios has some good products and good projects that they're working on. There's a couple of other, you know, Christian houses. I know Kevin Sorbo's always working on, you know, some pretty decent content as well. And these are, you know, positive, uplifting stories.
Yes. And my, one of our, vice presidents at Wimkin. Mm-hmm. Is Kevin Jackson from Fox News and an author.
Sure, I know Kevin. I've met Kevin. Yeah. Kevin and I've done an interview before.
Oh, great. Yeah, Kevin's great. He has his he has something called the Flick Fest, which I'm actually developing an app for him. So
okay.
They're also, you know, faith-based films and you know, motivational films there that, you know, nothing let's just say moral.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna run out of time here. Please hang tight for a second, but please tell Kevin that Pastor Greg said hello.
We haven't
connected for quite a while, but tell him I said hello. Wimkin, WIMKIN.com, Wimkin.com, folks. Jason Shepherd, please check this out. Get signed up, become a part of the community, and then from there you can also explore the other platforms that we've talked about today as well. And I really encourage you. We need to move over into these conservative spaces, so that we have the opportunity to be able to continue to communicate with one another. Thank you, Jason, for what you're doing for that.
Thank you so much, Pastor. It's been a pleasure. God bless everybody that's listening, and God bless yourself.
Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ed Brodow is going to be with us on the other side.